The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WFAS or its advertisers.
Peace of mind with Lipman Cooks.
Welcome, everybody, to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Lipman Crooks, and we've got offices in White Plains, Manhattan, and our new office in Fishkill, right off of Route 84 on Old Main Street. And tonight, our guest is Chris McEwen, the Executive Director of the Dutchess Arc. Welcome, Chris.
Hi, thanks.
It is great to have you here, and I know you're going to tell us about all the good work you're doing.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Well, let's start with the Dutchess Arc. What is it?
Well, we refer to it as Dutchess ARC. I know some chapters in New York State say ARC, but we say ARC. And just recently, we changed the meaning of those letters, and they represent advocacy, respect, and community. And we're a chapter that provides services to folks with developmental disabilities in Dutchess County.
I guess advocacy, respect, and community.
Yes.
Sounds a lot better than what it used to stand for.
It absolutely does. We really struggled with that. We refer to it as the R word. We decided a few months ago we weren't going to use that word even anymore. So we really struggled, like everybody else has, what to do with that, because we really respect our heritage. We respect where we came from and our history. But that word has taken on such a pejorative meaning for the rest of the world that we really hate tying it to our image.
And the word, of course, that we're talking about is retarded. It used to be the Association for the Help for Retarded Children,
yes.
AHRC. And just so the listeners are clear, this is an offshoot of that organization, is it not?
Yes. Dutchess ARC is one chapter of a statewide organization called NYSARC, which used to be New York State Association for Retarded Citizens, and we are the Dutchess County chapter.
And, of course, I refer to you as the ARC because in Westchester we call it the ARC.
Yes.
Okay, so each chapter gets to decide how they want to refer to themselves.
Right. Each chapter has their own local board, and that local board determines what kind of services they need to provide for their community.
All right, so tell us about some of the services.
Well, Dutchess ARC provides, we started out as a Voc Center 30 years ago, over 30 years ago now. We had seven folks, and we were a very small little pre-Voc Center. These were kids that aged out of school. That's grown into two vocational centers in Dutchess County, one on the eastern end of the corridor and one in LaGrange, one in Amenia, one in LaGrange. And we also have day services, where our folks go out and volunteer in the community and do career exploration. We have a large employment program where our folks are out in hopefully moving toward a competitive placement, but many of our folks work in the community and have a job coach that stops in and sees how they're doing. We do residential programs. We have what we call rec and teen clubs for individuals who are still living at home with their families, and this may be the only service that they get, but it's a social club. So we create big calendars, and they go to Yankee games, and they go get their nails done, and they do all the stuff that, social groups do together, and it's our rec and teen club. And we have a clinic. We provide clinic services. We do service coordination. We're pretty typical, I think, of most ARCs.
So let's just break these down. You mentioned the vocational school.
Yes.
Okay, tell us what that does.
We have two vocational centers, and those programs provide opportunities for folks to hone their work skills. And much of the work that's done there, we refer to it as pre-vocational. And this could be some, assembly task where you take one big job and you break it down into two or three different types of tasks, and then put together, it's a complete piece of work. A good example of some of the work that we do in our Voc Center would be you see us around Halloween and Easter, all the little packets where you color Easter eggs, and then on Halloween we refer to it as the blood kits. Our folks, that gets broken down, and our folks put those packages together, and they end up on the stores.
Okay,
store
so
shelves.
That's and these are done by the children and adults with disabilities who are part of your programs?
In our Voc Center, we don't serve children.
So just adults?
Right. In our Voc Centers, it is folks who are who have transitioned out of school.
So they're over 18?
Yes.
And so are these people that you've necessarily serviced before, or they're newcomers?
Could be newcomers. What we find today is that many of the folks that are coming out of the school system are not looking for a vocational placement in a vocational center. They're really much more interested in, if they're looking for work, they want to be placed out in a community. They want to be doing something out there. So many of the folks that we transition from the school system don't even come into the Voc Center. They end up going from school right to a job.
All right, so you don't have to have been serviced by the agency while you were a child in order to take advantage of the Voc school?
Not a bit.
Okay. All right, so that's the vocational. Now, we also talked about the residential.
Yes.
What's that?
That's huge. I mean, if you want to talk about the size of our organization, at least 50% of the organization in terms of all of our revenue comes from our vocational or our residential program. We have group homes, and I guess that's the term most folks use, but we refer to them as homes within the Dutchess County community, pretty much in every corner of Dutchess County. And they house individuals. We have a couple homes that are fairly, I don't want to say old, but they were created many years ago. So they're larger homes. Folks of, 11 or 12 folks live in that home, and we're working to break that down into a smaller setting. But these are folks who live in a home. Staff come in, and they cook dinner. They clean their rooms. They keep the house clean. They do everything that you would do in your own home. They recreate. They plan their weekend activities, do their laundry, make their beds. It's their home. It's where they live, and they sometimes they recreate together. Sometimes they choose to do things independently of their own.
You mentioned 11 or 12. Is that considered a large group home?
Yes.
So what's the ideal size?
Well, I guess ideal for me and ideal for what gets funded are two different things. We're hoping, we'd like to see nothing more than like an 8 or 9 bed.
And the theory there is it's just better for the residents?
Well, my last group experience living with a group of people was in college many years ago. And, when you think about putting like 11 or 12 people in one home and then add to that the number of staff you would need to make sure everybody has their needs met, that's a lot of people in a home.
That'd be a big house.
That would be a big house, yes.
Okay, so those are the group homes and the homes, the residences. And you said that the revenue comes from that, or that's where the money's spent?
Both. Most of the programs that are operated by Dutchess ARC are funded by Medicaid. And that's not unusual. That pretty much is the standard in New York State right now for most programs and services for developmentally disabled folks. So we get funded by Medicaid. So based on the service that we provide, we then bill for that and we get paid for it. But then it's basically a cycle because that money is used to pay our staff. It's used to make sure that the houses are maintained. So it's basically a cycle.
You have any trouble finding places to spend the money?
No.
Okay, so that's the residences. Then you mentioned the employment program.
Yes.
What's that about?
Really exciting. If you look at where we find our value as individuals and as human beings in the world, you go to a party and somebody says to you, what do you do for a living?
First question, right?
First question, what do you do for a living? And that's not different for the folks that we serve. They want to have something that makes them feel valuable, that they're contributing. And I think over the past, years that I've been involved in this, that's one thing that organizations have moved away from. And we tend not to view ourselves as charities so much, but work to make sure that our folks understand and our community understands that our folks can be contributing members of their community. And that's where our focus is within our employment program. We do have folks who are competitively employed. They're taxpayers. And it is a process where we screen them, and we maybe have several attempts. But there are folks who work at McDonald's. They work in grocery stores. We have a young gal who works in an attorney's office. She does filing. She does everything that they ask of her. They love her. We have folks who work in the hospitals. They work everywhere, just like we do.
Yeah, we have a woman who has developmental disabilities who works in our law office, and she's very productive, and she's a member of our team, and everyone gets along with her, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, we feel like we're doing a good thing, but also she's getting paid to do work.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we're proud of that, and I'm glad that that program's working for you as well.
Oh, it's wonderful.
How many people are involved in it?
Oh, golly, it's hard to even say. We probably have... you know what? I can't even hazard a guess.
That's good.
Probably, yeah. It has grown. When I first started at Dutchess ARC, we maybe had, 10 or 12 people in our supported employment program.
Wow.
And so now every year we have a supported employment breakfast for the folks around the holidays. Right. And everybody comes to breakfast and we give them. We filled a room at the Poughkeepsie Grand this year. And we looked around and just said, this is remarkable, because in the last few years, this program has just grown enormously, and that's very exciting, very exciting.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
And you mentioned job coaches. These
yes.
are people who are basically communicating with the employer to make sure things are going well.
They communicate with the employer to make sure that the individual's doing what they need to do and that they're not getting stuck. They also, work with the person to make sure that they get transitioned to a new job. And things happen just as they do with us, where somebody's in a job and they maybe hit a low spot and they might need a little more intervention and a little more support now and again. And they do that. It's a collaborative process between the employer and the job coach and the person.
I'm Bernie Crooks, and I'm speaking with Chris McEwen, the executive director of the Dutchess ARC. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Every parent worries about their kids. Unfortunately, when you have a child with disabilities, the worries are much greater.
Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Lippman Crooks.
Amy and Bruce had been talking about going to a lawyer to help them ever since Charlie was born. Charlie has cerebral palsy.
The experts at Lippman Crooks helped Amy and Bruce set up a special needs trust to provide for Charlie's medical and financial needs for today and for the future.
The rules are very complex. You truly do need an expert to help you navigate through all the federal and state regulations to make sure that your child gets the benefits he or she is entitled to.
Do you have a child with special needs? Call the law offices of Lippman Crooks.
We don't know what the future holds for Amy, Bruce, or their son Charlie, but what Amy and Bruce do know is that they've done everything in their power to ensure that Charlie has the best quality of life possible when Amy and Bruce are here and when they're not here.
Peace of mind.
Lippman Crooks, in White Plains, Manhattan, or online at specialneedsnewyork.com.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Lippman Crooks. We're heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. This evening, our special guest is Chris McEwen, the executive director of the Dutchess ARC. And before the break, we were chatting about the many services that the Dutchess ARC offers. And Chris, these services have to cost money, right?
Yes.
Okay,
they
so
sure do.
Where's the money come from?
Well, as I said, the money does come from Medicaid, and it comes based on the fact that we provide services and we bill for that. But as with most nonprofits, there is some fundraising that has to occur in order for us to do some of the things we need to do.
And what types of fundraisers do you guys do?
Well, I hate to say that we're like everybody else and do a golf tournament, but we do a golf tournament. But
and where do you hold it?
That's held at Branton Woods.
Branton Woods, beautiful course.
Beautiful, and they are terrific, I'm telling you. They're a wonderful group.
And when is it?
It is September 8th, and we're looking to plan that one after we finish our one that's just upcoming.
Which is?
It's the Laurel Run. It's going to be held at Freedom Park on May 18th. And that's a great event that we think ultimately could become a signature event for Dutchess ARC.
So tell us a little bit about the run.
The run is the namesake, Laurel. She's a young gal whose parents live out in the western part of the state. And several years ago, NYSARC, to celebrate their 50th anniversary, had a run through New York State where every county ran through their county and handed off a baton to the next county, and everybody ended up on the steps of the Capitol in Albany. Well, when we did this in Dutchess County, our community enjoyed it so much. They said, you got to do this every year. So we decided not to run through the entire county every year. So what we do now is we have the Dutchess ARC Laurel Run. And it is held at Freedom Park, and it has evolved into a 10-mile, and we also do a 5K run. And on top of that, we also do what we'll call a nice leisurely walk for folks who aren't so inclined.
So there's a competitive 10K run.
Ten mile? 10 mile.
10 mile, and then 5K?
Yes.
Which is about, I guess, 3 miles.
Yes. And then we do a 5K walk.
The people who really are in shape do that.
Yes.
And then the people who just want to have some fun and relax,
yes.
They take a 5K walk?
Yes.
And you can bring kids and dogs?
You can bring the family. It has evolved into an event where we have bouncy castles for the kids. We have kids events, kids dashes. Everybody gets a shirt. Well, not everybody gets a shirt. Walkers will get a shirt if they bring in a pledge of $25.
Okay.
And our runners and our runners typically get a shirt. They'll get a goodie bag. But we have some elite runners that come every year. And we had over 70 10-milers last year. Amazing.
That's a major run.
It is. It's a major run. And we have some of our locals who do the 5K every year. And we're very excited about this. We have folks this year. One of the spinoffs that we've done is really focus on bringing in pledges. Because within our community, we get sponsors. But we realize in Dutchess County, our sponsors, our vendors in that community are just pounded with all the providers, and we realize that. So we're working on a pledge drive, and we're for the individual who generates the most pledges over $1,000 is going to win a Wii. So we're very excited. We're hoping that someone's going to come in, and we hope we're getting some competitive spirit in Dutchess County to do that. We also have a huge internal. Our staff are working on an internal pledge drive, and so they're competing sort of against each other. So that's really nice, too. They're really getting into it. They're very, very excited.
Nothing wrong with a little friendly competition.
They love it. They love it. Yeah, we're having a party for the staff in next week, which is we're calling it Pizza for Pledges. So we're letting them come in and sort of let everybody know where they stand. So that'll get everybody motivated to go back out one last time and really bump it up.
So are you guaranteeing the weather for next Sunday?
No. I never get. One year at the Laurel Run, I swear it snowed. It snowed.
What month was it held in?
May. It was in May. And right as we shot the gun off and the runners took off, big, huge snowflakes started to fall. And it was one of the wettest, coldest days in May that I could ever remember. But the reality, we had so much fun. Everybody was really damp and wet and cold, but it was a great day. So I don't guarantee the weather at the run. And runners don't seem to care too much.
They actually like it when it's not so hot.
Yeah, yeah. The families weren't thrilled about it, and the kids weren't either. But the runners, you know, they manage. They're a hardy crew.
All right, so we've got the golf outing in September at Branton Woods. We've got the Laurel Run in May. Anything else?
Well, one of the things that we're working on, and we're a little behind other organizations, but we are in the process of developing a foundation. And with that foundation will come another board that we're beginning to create. And we're hoping that over the course of the next year or so, we'll be developing some other events. We're fairly thin administratively at Dutchess ARC, out of every dollar, about 91 cents of every dollar goes right back into the program. So we're a little tight, but we think that that's the best way for us to go right now.
How can people give if they wanted to make a donation?
Write a check. No, they can contact Duchess ARC. Go to our website at info@duchess-arc.org. Or they can contact the organization, and our number is 845-635-8084. They can come to our event. They can become a member. There's a lot of things they can do. And it isn't just the dollars that matter. It is the time and the commitment and the goodwill that a lot of our community members spread about us, getting people to know who we are and what we do.
So people can contribute either financially or they can volunteer.
Absolutely.
Any criteria in terms of volunteers, like prior experience?
Just a good heart and willing to have a good time.
Well, good luck with that. Hopefully it'll be a huge success.
Well, we think it will. Regardless of what happens, we've already got like a number of runners coming in. We have people who come back every year. So we know we're going to have a fairly good crowd. We're just hoping that the weather holds and folks can have a good time out there.
No snow.
No snow. Let's hope not.
I'm Bernie Crooks, and I'm speaking with Chris McEwen, who's the executive director of the Duchess ARC. You're listening to the Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney program, and we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Sooner or later, disability or illness strikes every family, and unfortunately, that's not the time to do the planning. The best time is in advance, before a crisis strikes.
Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Lipman Crooks.
Susan, Vincent and Sheila's oldest daughter, had called us because one of her friend's parents recently had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and their financial affairs were a mess. They had not done any advance planning.
Susan didn't want that to happen to her parents. The caring professionals at Lipman Crooks helped her design a comprehensive plan that provided for long-term care while protecting her parents' hard-earned assets.
Susan and her siblings now have the peace of mind of knowing that their parents can go on with the rest of their lives without having to worry about what would happen if one of them became sick or disabled.
Your parents had big plans for you. Make sure you have one for them. Call the law offices of Lipman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Lipman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Lipman Crooks. We've got offices in Dutchess County on Old Main Street, right off Route 84 in White Plains and in New York City. Our guest this week is Chris McEwen, the Executive Director of the Duchess ARC. And Chris, the Duchess ARC is just a wonderful organization providing terrific services and programs for people. And I really got to give you credit for the terrific work you're doing. But tell us, where's the organization headed? Tell us what your vision is.
Oh, dear. One of the things that we really hope for our organization is that, and it's I don't think unusual for us, but I think in our field, what we really hope for is to stabilize our workforce and our recruitment and retention efforts in terms of our staffing issues. The programs and services are obviously going to go on, and we're right-sizing our residential program. We're growing our school-to-work services. We're expanding our service coordination and bringing in lots of young families who have youngsters. And when I say youngsters, I mean infants. So those services are still going to grow. But the issue that I think that we have is stabilizing our workforce and attracting a number of the right kind of people to this kind of work. And that's a real struggle for a lot of organizations today.
So how do you go about doing that? How do you get the right people?
It's very hard. It is very hard.
I mean, people don't do it for the money.
No, they don't. No, they don't. And especially today, when you see people getting paid enormous sums of money for, you know, playing a game, and you realize that the people that we employ are actually caring for and helping folks and affecting their lives, when you place a value on that, certainly that's much more valuable, is making someone's life productive. The resources that agencies have to pay for those staff aren't there. And so it means that organizations like Dutchess ARC have to frame their agency and create a culture where staff want to be there, want to be productive, want to contribute, and want to do good. I think of when I started years ago, people went into the field because they wanted to do good. And we lost a little bit of that along the way, and I think we have to try to recapture that.
Is the economy hurting in any way?
The economy is really hurting. It really, really is. When I think of when I started years ago as a direct care staff person, I had a job. I had a job doing that, and I could pay my bills. My staff today, they have two or three jobs, and they bank on overtime to actually make sure that they can, you know, pay their bills. The economy is really, really stretching them. Really stretching them.
Is it affecting donors as well?
Yeah, I think it is, because I think donors are really tapped out. And as I mentioned before, in a community like ours that has so many providers, you know, we talk to people and they say, you know, you're like the third or fourth person to talk to us, and they want to do what they can, but they can only do so much.
So I guess that means we may have to rely more and more on Medicaid and the state. What's the outlook there?
Well, Medicaid, as most people know, is a hot issue, and New York State is a big user of Medicaid, and that's one of those things that on a federal level people talk about all the time. But New York State has created this reliance on it, and we need to make sure that people understand that losing anything in terms of Medicaid from New York State would severely endanger the services that we, not only the ones that we provide, but for those families coming up that see this as something that they're expecting, if they change Medicaid, the services they anticipate may not be there in the future.
I know it's a battle every spring in Albany to make sure we at least maintain what we have, and the state legislature is under such tremendous pressure to make the budget balance.
Yes.
And I guess it's just a question of where they get the money from.
It's hard to say. I know that we have heard that our new governor has asked every commissioner to submit a report of serious cuts by May 16th, I think it is. So we're just, you know, waiting to see looks like for us.
A new governor with a disability himself.
Yes, yes.
I'm Bernie Crooks, and I'm speaking with Chris McEwen, who's the executive director of the Dutchess ARC. We've got to take one more final break, and we'll be back to wrap up right after this.
Unexpected medical crises can turn lives upside down. Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Barbara called. I could tell something was wrong. She was calling from the hospital. Her husband had a stroke. Harry was going to need care in a long-term facility, perhaps for the rest of his life.
Barbara couldn't find the necessary documents.
Unfortunately, this is all too common. One spouse gets sick and the other spouse has absolutely no idea where the financial records are.
Harry quickly got the care he needed. In addition to helping Barbara gather and submit the appropriate paperwork, the experts at Littman Crooks also helped access government-financed health care to help pay Harry's medical bills.
Although we can't help Harry get better, Barbara has the peace of mind of knowing their hard-earned family assets will be available to help pay for Barbara's care in the future and to pass on to their children and grandchildren, and not be eaten away by the cost of Harry's long-term care.
When a medical crisis strikes, call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm Bernie Crooks, your host, and we're heard here right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And our guest is Chris McEwen, the Executive Director of the Dutchess ARC. And Chris, some final thoughts.
Well, as unique as I think our organization is, we are much like many others in our field, and I do want to thank you for letting me come and spend some time with you and speak to our communities, because it's our communities that we serve and it's our communities that we count on to keep going. So thank you.
Well, it's been great to have you on the show, and we certainly hope our listeners understand and respect the good work that you do and will contribute as much as they can.
Thank you very much.
This has been the Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney Show. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks. We'll see you all next week. Good night.